702 Afternoons
with Relebo Gilemaboja. Let's walk talk.
We're joined on the line by Nosy Pombata, parenting coach and founder of Nurture with Nosy, and we're talking about what to do if your child is the bully. Nosy Po, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Relebo Gile. Good afternoon to 702 listeners.
So the first thing...
How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Good, good, thank you.
So one of the things that we have come to know and understand, and not to say it's the case all the time, is that when a child is a bully, there's a possibility that they are being bullied at home. So now how do you deal with the situation? And I think we've touched on it on our show previously about, you know, the trends that were happening on social media of how parents would deal with their bullying children, and we were sort of measuring what is harsh, what is not harsh. What do you do though if you aren't a bully in your home to your child, but you suddenly get this call from the school or from another parent saying, listen, your child is bullying my child, either psychologically, emotionally, even physically, and we need to get it addressed?
It's such a hard thing for the parents that is on the receiving end of this, as well as for the child that is now being labeled as the bully. And the very first thing that comes to mind as a parent is like, oh my goodness, how could this child embarrass me? I've done so many great things for them and they're doing this to me. And then the other parents are, because of just the amount of judgment that exists in parents, already labeling their child as a bully. And when your child is now labeled, you're like, oh my goodness, my child is going to turn out to be a bully for the rest of their lives. What can I do? And then there's the blame part, where the parent now is being blamed because of what happens or what may potentially be happening in their home. And that brings me back to the question that you've just asked me now at the beginning. And that is, there's so many things that could be contributing to a child's behavior. There's always something underneath the behavior that we see in children. And I mean, they rely on us as the adults and the parents to be able to coach them and guide them on how to react to certain situations. Like, for example, the children who have challenges in experience in that, talking about the emotion and say, you know what, right now if you're angry, they just act it out because the part of their brain that is responsible for reasoning is still underdeveloped, and it develops very differently according to a child's age and age group. So rather than first labeling the child, let's first, what I would always recommend is to first try and get to the bottom and understanding of what could be causing a child to do that. Yes, it could be something that happens in the home as well, where it is not modeled for them to say, you know what, right now I feel angry, because they don't know how to do that and they act it out. And there could be other behavioral things that are happening beneath the surface. There could be things like, for younger children, for example, where there's a new sibling that has just arrived at home and they don't know. And then they feel, oh my goodness, my parents aren't going to give me the attention. I'm not good enough anymore. There's a new baby. What about me? It's very much, you know, the sense of the brain of a child. When they're still a child, anything below the age of 23 and under, they're very much still about me, 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 and anything that's happening externally, they internalize that, which is what causes a lot of the behaviors that we see. So first and foremost is for us to first understand what may be causing that behavior, because it's always communicating something.
So what if, and I mean, it might be easy to say, what is causing that behavior, but what if you don't have great communication with your child, so your child is not even in a space to open up to you? Because I also kind of have this feeling that rushing your child to a psychologist might not be the immediate answer.
Yeah, that's also, it's a very important one, where a child, for example, they may not be connected to, they might have a harder time in bonding with the parent, and they're feeling disconnected from their parent or primary caregiver, and they become less cooperative, and that then hinders in their development. Developmentally, they can't offer that empathy and show compassion towards other children. That then makes them feel alone and scared, and that is what will most likely make them lash out. And sometimes, you know, the parent might be saying, oh my goodness, am I doing something wrong? Why is the child not doing, you know, why aren't they? And we internalize it as parents, like, am I doing something wrong? The child is not responding to me and don't want to bond with me. Let me rather, as you say, like, just take them to a psychologist. But really it's about understanding your child and getting close to them, even if it's not to discuss, because the first thing that a parent wants to do is this discipline, like, you will hit the child at school, yes, so now let's discipline you. And instead that makes the behavior so much worse, and it's something that never gets resolved because we didn't get to the underlying reason why the child is behaving the way that they do. So you know, for the child to have that one-on-one time with their parents at home, even if it's not to talk about the incident, but to just establish that connection first, so that they feel safe with you as the parent, because sometimes, because they're not feeling safe, they're not willing to open up. And it's not something that happens overnight. You know, before you know it, your child has locked themselves in their room, they don't want to actually even engage or talk with you, and then you feel terrible, and then before you know it, it's just downhill from there.
So at what point should a parent actually look at themselves to say, maybe I or maybe we as the parents are the problem? Because the assumption, you know, to say a child's having problems at home, a person might automatically think abuse, but it might not necessarily be abuse. It could be maybe that the child is just not getting much attention. It could be a number of things. So at what point do parents have to look at themselves to say, wow, what is it that we aren't doing or are doing that might be the cause of our child acting out the way that they are?
And that is so important. It is the very first thing, is to look at yourself as the parent, because you are the leader in your home, to establish what kind of environment you are creating, because the children are most likely modeling what it is that's happening at home. And for example, if you know, you look at your discipline methods and how you are reacting towards them, because chances are they're also going to go react to other children when they're frustrated on the playing ground in the very same manner that you are reacting. And very often it's something that happens very unintentionally. We're not even aware most times as parents that this is what we're doing. And that is why it is so important to always check in with yourself as well. And it's a hard thing, you know, to do, and just put your ego aside and sometimes just have a casual conversation with your child and ask them what they think of the way that you parent them, and be open and curious without being defensive about what they're going to tell you, because sometimes it's not always nice, but and just welcoming that as an opportunity.
Yes. I recall Dr. Shefali Shabari, who is a psychologist, but she specializes in conscious parenting. And one of the things that she mentioned is that whenever a parent comes to her to say, oh my gosh, I'm struggling with my child, you know, they're so difficult, or they're a terror, whatever it is that they describe as this child basically being a problem and too much to handle, what she, and then the parent will say, please, can I urgently book them a session with you? The first thing she says is, okay, let me and you have a session first. Then we can book the session with the child, because it goes back to what you were saying, that many a time a child is mirroring behavior that they see at home. So she speaks about how the parents will always be shocked that why is she wanting a session with them? And she explains how there are many things that parents do inadvertently, completely unawares that their child is mirroring and acting out. So is there something to be said about if you find yourself in a situation where your child is acting out, that maybe you as the parent, or maybe you book a family therapy session to try and get to the bottom of the issue, as opposed to trying to solve the child?
That is it. It starts with us as the parents, and that is exactly what parent coaches do as well. Exactly like how Dr. Shefali explains it, is to invite the parents into looking at basically their own childhood story, to be able to form that narrative to say, okay, this is what I'm now repeating from the way that I was parented, and now I'm, oh my goodness, this is, and then when you see it and being that mirror, being staring back, is, you know, not being you know, judging yourself for it either, but rather seeing it as an opportunity, because when you shift yourself, your relationship with your child shifts as well.
Yes.
And from things like anger, you know, as an emotion, you know, sometimes we're not even aware that, like, how our anger influences our children. And the moment we start working, you know, how we manage ours, inevitably we'll see the behavior of the child change. Mm. It's marvelous.
So what are your thoughts on some of the extreme lengths that parents go to discipline their children or teach them a lesson? In the States, we saw, you know, a parent who the daughter was bullying other kids. So I think it was a period of 2 weeks. She had to walk to school. He drove behind her. But this included, if it was raining, she had to walk. And of course, it was humiliating for her because it was the type of school where everybody got dropped off and that kind of thing. And everybody knew why that was happening. Another child had to hold up a sign that said, "Honk if you hate bullies." So people that drove past would hoot, you know, which is quite a bit of a humiliating experience. Another, you know, other children would go and get their heads shaved in the shape of an old person, basically, as if they have a receding hairline. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the effects of some of these, I would call them extreme parenting methods when your child is being a bully? Because I genuinely believe that many of the parents, their hearts are in the right place, but I'm not sure about the methodology.
Absolutely. We are now in a world that has opened up to latest research on children, how children develop, and we live in a culture that shames and, you know, to teach a lesson. And unfortunately, the lesson that we want to be taught, rather, it doesn't work. Those methods don't work. Instead, they make the child feel worse than they did, you know, before. And it just makes the behavior so much more out of hand, because the child is now being humiliated. There's shame all around, and the root cause of the problem is never found. Instead, we perpetuate the very same cycle that we don't want to see. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder, then why do children behave the way they do when they become adults?
What are constructive methods? I recall sharing in one of our open line discussions, but in essence, this little child was being a bully to the delivery driver, but with racist undertones. This was in the States. The driver was Asian, but he made some comment about, "Let me hide the cat," implying that, you know, Asian people eat cats and dogs. So the mom, as punishment, or I don't know how you want to call it, made him write an apology letter. And I think he had to also speak about the Asian community in the US. And she made him go to the guy's workplace and read the apology letter in front of everybody. The dad said that the punishment did not fit the crime. What are your thoughts on those types of methods of, you know, making a child apologize, possibly in front of all the other children that they may have humiliated this child in front of?
There's also the same cycle, Relebogile, on the humiliation and the shame, because when somebody is a genuine apology needs to come from, I mean, the child also needs to understand why they're apologizing, and it needs to be an authentic apology in a way that is feeling right for the family, not because of what other people are going to say, because very often it is really not even about making the apology to the person whom the child is meant to apologize to, but it's more for everybody else to see, because the parent is probably worried about what everybody else thinks and how they're going to be judged. And it's about, it's less about the person whom the apology is geared to, but more for them and how their ego has been, you know, how they're feeling about themselves. Because we parents internalize things. If your child does something, you immediately think, "Oh my goodness, it's me. I, you know, how am I going to be viewed in the community? I'm so embarrassed right now." So you go resort on the other side now to try and, you know, make yourself look better. Mm. And at the end of the day, the person that is feeding us the most is the child, and they never get to really learn the lesson that they were supposed to, because it wasn't done in a way that is a genuine and meaningful way. Yeah.
What would be appropriate? I mean, I'm thinking about if a parent were to call and now say, listen, I'm really concerned with how your child is treating my child. My child is coming home crying every day. Would it be appropriate to call a meeting with the other parent and the victim of the bullying, or would that be being insensitive to the other child? Because it's so tricky in these situations. Some people come from backgrounds where family meetings are the things that solve everything. So let's get all the parents around a table, maybe even involve the headmistress or a teacher, and let's have a meeting. Like, is that a language or a setting that a child will be able to understand? Because after school is still after school.
Yes, you know, after school, that's right. Yeah, I get you. And you know, it's so different, from environment to environment and everybody's backgrounds. But what is the most important thing is that the child knows and understand what, you know, obviously there will be logical consequences from their behaviors, but rather than calling a meeting for the sake of embarrassment or whatever, the intention is the most important thing. But first and foremost is for you and your child to have a conversation before calling on everybody else, so that you can truly understand and let them be part of the solution, so that they understand what they did hurts the other child. And they say, yes, they can see that, they can acknowledge it, and ask them, like, and children are really smart. Sometimes we underestimate them, and ask them what would make them feel that this is the person who will receive the apology. If the child says, rather, I prefer maybe writing a letter to say I apologize, or I prefer going to the person directly in a way that is from a motivation that comes extrinsically, rather than doing because that's what the parents say. Because the very next week, if it hasn't landed and the child hasn't learned what they did was wrong, they're still going to repeat it. Then it doesn't help.
In the extreme case that your child has been suspended from school because of whatever situation that they got into where they were possibly the perpetrator of the bullying, what should that child spend the week, let's call it a week, doing at home to reflect on their behavior? I mean, how does a parent manage in that situation where the house might even be empty the whole day, or the child is at home with a domestic worker?
And that is such a sad one when that happens. And it is also, you know, in the schooling system that the child has been removed so they can think about what they've done. But the reality is, does the child really think about what they've done? And if, you know, as a family, you sit down, or your mom or your dad, you sit down with the child and then let them also come up with solutions that, and ask them, what are they going to be using this time for? They might even say, I rather, whatever their outlet is, because I mean, all children are different. If they like playing soccer, if they like drawing, they let them get into their hobby, rather than, you know, punishing them and saying, which makes it even worse, and say, you're not allowed now to do this because you did that. If they're not going to learn the lesson, it's pointless to do that. So I would say encourage your child to do the hobbies they would ordinarily do if they can't be at school. If they enjoy drawing, they enjoy something therapeutic that will help them process their emotions, and be there to talk to them and don't ignore them, because when they're alone in their pain, it just it doesn't necessarily, just separating the child from their behavior is so important. It doesn't mean just because you bullied somebody, you now labeled as a bully, because what we tell children about themselves is what they end up believing about themselves, and they will go act it out in that way.
I love that you said that, and I think that is the most powerful takeout from this conversation, is you mentioning the labels and separating the child from their behavior. Because the natural thing a parent might want is that if your child is at home on suspension, not to be doing the things that they love. You know, you feel like they must be having a miserable time. So no TV, no phone, no many things. How do you find that balance of separating the child from their behavior? And obviously, it does start with not calling them names. They aren't that one terrible thing that they may have done. How else do you find that balance in that time that you're trying to, if I could call it, rehabilitate them and get them back on the straight and narrow?
I think the first and foremost thing is for you, for your child to know that you, your love is not conditional. So it is not based on what they've done and what they haven't done. You may not agree with their behavior, but you're not going to withdraw your love for them just because of what they did. Because then that means, you know, they know that you don't condone the behavior. Yes, there are consequences for the behavior. But when your child knows deep down inside that you are with them, you support them, and you are, will help them through their struggles. I mean, because all children struggle, they'll go through their wobblies, but them knowing that you love them regardless with their imperfections, then that's going to be a form also of rehabilitation for them to say, you know what, I've messed up. These are the consequences for my messing up. However, I still am loved and I belong in my home.
And maybe also for that message to be, you know, communicated to the siblings, because you don't want now that they are bullied or made fun of at home because now you've been suspended, for example, or you're in trouble.
Yes, and they tell everybody that comes, look, he's at home today because this is what happened, and then everybody makes fun and they laugh. Yes, yes. Absolutely key. Thanks for that point.
And I think also let's just be mindful to all of the parents, caregivers, that bullying is not restricted to, you know, the schoolyard. It can happen in your very own home where you've got sometimes even younger siblings bullying older siblings. And maybe this is a conversation we can have another time, Nozi, around the dynamics of dealing with siblings in the same home where, you know, you might have the one lying about something you did or didn't do. Now you're in trouble and all those kind of dynamics as to how to, as a parent, manage the kids in the home, that they're treating one another with kindness and love. But thank you so much, Nozi. Absolutely always love your contribution to our Parenting and Parents feature. And that is Nozi Pombata, parenting coach and founder of Nurture with Nozi. It's 2:30.